The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. By listening to Roland Radio, you are subject to spoilers on any of the movies discussed. If you're not looking for candid reviews, take those earbuds out and tune back in when you've watched every single episode of Roland Radio.
Welcome to Roland Radio.
Hey people, welcome back to Roland Radio. We're your hosts, Maggie, Mia, Liv, and Rania.
And Emma.
Wait, happened last time?
Why are you not in here?
Wait, I'm sick.
Okay, you're going first, Emma.
Thank you.
Hey, people. Welcome back to Roland Radio. We're your hosts, Emma, Maggie, Mia, Liv, and Rania. And today is the very last episode of our season.
What?
Woo! That's crazy.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And if you've made it this far, we appreciate you. Today will be a little different, as we don't have a movie of the week.
What?
Oh, my God. Can you believe? So, throughout today's episode, we're going to go down memory lane and reflect on the 6 films we've watched this season. Our favorite moments, our most heated debates, and reveal once and for all the final stats for season 1.
So, team, how do we feel about the outcome of this season?
I feel great.
Feeling great?
I feel good, too.
Feeling good.
Me, too.
Yeah.
Like I should. I'm happy. We discussed a lot this season.
We did.
So true.
Yes. We had many, many debates.
Many discussions.
Yes. Many memorable debates.
Many memorable.
Like about whether or not women are fish.
And what are we talking about?
We're going to remember, and it's your debate.
Oh, that women are fish?
No.
Whether or not women
whether
are fish.
Not.
Remember no, whether or not woman was fish, what? And she was.
God.
That woman was fish, and she was like
that
fish
was,
bubble
That was
fish.
Facts over feeling.
And we've
that
also had debate about what classifies slice of life. Some people are wrong. Not me.
You.
Slice of life doesn't, just because there's someone living in the movie doesn't mean it's a slice of life movie.
You know, the thing is that not everyone can really grasp slice
right.
of life. And that's kind
right.
of what makes
it's
it
essence.
Unique.
Yeah.
It's
is
actually
that person
a feeling
you?
And a concept.
Sure.
Slice of life is a concept.
Were there any ratings, not to stir up debate again, but that you guys disagree with?
Yes.
Yes.
1000%.
Definitely. And what would you say?
Like, I think my movie needed to be rated higher, if I'm just going to say it out loud right now.
Yeah. And what was it rated? 3.8?
3.7.
3.8? It was a 3.8, I think.
Wait, are we tied for lowest?
No.
No. You're like...
No, I think...
Emma's like third last.
So one could say right in the middle.
So one could say
Doom
third.
Generation has a 3.5.
Or second. Or third.
Doom Generation has a 3.5? I thought I had a 3.8.
No.
No.
Liv!
Midnight's at 3.8. Shape of Water has 3.7.
Yeah.
What's Up, Doc? Had a 3.9.
So Emma, why did you feel like 3.8 was like not a fair rating?
Because like there wasn't anything like that needed that rating. Like I feel like it just deserved higher. Like when I think of that movie, I think minimum solid 4.
I mean, I'll go ahead and say that I think
it was fairly rated.
I'm gonna go ahead and say something that I've never said.
Don't
and.
That you,
I've never actually said this before on the podcast, but I find the fact that Emma Pavlovic rated my movie *The Shape of Water* a 1 in iconography
abhorrent. Okay, but it's not iconic. I'm sorry.
That's a fair rating.
That's fair.
It won Best Picture.
That's Do you want her to feel silenced in her true opinion?
Iconic at all? There's nothing about that movie that is iconic.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, kill me if I'm wrong, but
whatever.
But you know
what did
that
you guys
is?
Think of like your movies? Did you find ratings that were like unfair? What
I thought mine was a little. If it was 3 people rating it instead of 5 people, and a specific 3 people, I think it would get a better rating than it would deserve.
I think
2 people's.
I generally think, in reflection of all of our ratings, they were pretty accurate aggregations of all of our thoughts. Like, even if some of us didn't like the movie, some of us did like the movie, I think it averaged out well to something that I'm not mad at for all of them.
Yeah. I feel like I was being hella nice on the first date. Not that I wouldn't, like, not that I don't think it was a good movie, but I feel like if I had to, like, re-rate it.
Yeah, I feel like I would rate it lower.
7, at least.
If I watched it now, after we watched them all.
Yeah.
Just, like, in the scheme of things, you know?
My movie's hard to be mad at.
But it's hard to be amazed at.
I wasn't asking anyone to be amazed.
True.
It's interesting. I think with that movie, I think What's Up, Doc was a good movie because it had a good mix of everything. Like, I think it had a good, it had a good story that was, like, engaging enough. The characters were definitely really good. I think that the characters were very interesting, like, from the jump. Overall, I think that What's Up Doc had good elements of a little bit of everything.
To sum this category up, I do like that we picked very different, like, there's no similarities, like, no extreme similarities in the movies. And we didn't even discuss it, like, beforehand. Like, we
just it was like, have our own do I like?
Like, I feel like the most similarities I like I can draw from me and Maggie is only because it's the same decade. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I see those decade similarities. But, like, otherwise, all our movies are super different and reflective of us. So, I mean, of our taste.
Welcome to the RIAs, Rollum's very own original award show. After an amazing season where we got to watch six very different incredible movies, we thought it was only right to put these movies to the test.
We've put together eight different categories, like Best Main Character, Most Finest Shite, and many other awesome awards.
These are completely subjective. No real criteria, no nothing, just our opinions, which means if you disagree, that's okay, but we're probably still right.
Clock it.
We're always right.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. So we have a series of categories. Each one has several nominees, and each person will have one vote.
Yep. All right, our first category that we have here today is Best Main Character. What? Nominations are Amy Blue, Judy Maxwell, Sunny Wartzik, Eliza Esposito, Stevie, and Pearl.
Okay, let's discuss. Okay, so... what do you guys think straight off the bat? Straight off the bat, I'm thinking my own movie, Sunny Wartzik, because, like, what? Guys, like, please.
Honestly, straight off the bat, I'm thinking your movie, too. I'm not going to lie. Like, he's just
solid
everything.
Main character.
I'm kind of thinking that same. And if not that, then I'm a big fan of...
Pearl? Because, yeah.
I was going to say I'm a big fan of Judy. But I know that's not a popular vote.
Yeah. I mean, you can vote for whatever you want.
Well, my vote's Pearl, so... My vote was between... Sunny and Eliza.
You're a big fan of Eliza's.
She is so iconic. Yeah.
I agree with, honestly, I would, I mean, that was my movie, but I would say Eliza, she was a great main character. Also, since we're kind of considering this almost like acting performance, I mean, pretty damn good job. Like, she learned sign language for that role.
That's crazy.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. She was just deaf.
Yeah, she's not deaf, and she learned sign language for the role and didn't
have
speak
you not
the whole
ever
movie.
Seen her in a different
and
movie?
And she conveyed so much emotion. Wait, so I think, she's in Paddington, guys.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense now. I knew she looked familiar.
I'm sticking with Pearl. Like, as much as I do love Stevie, like, I think there wasn't enough of a script from the act to like it was more like natural acting, but I think that all the other ones were really dramatic. Like this just seemed too natural for it to deserve like this.
I might
award.
Put Stevie at the bottom of this list if I had to like rank them.
I don't think it was bad acting. It was just there wasn't enough acting. Like the script didn't consist of it.
Does everyone want to cast their vote?
Yes.
Okay, you can start us off, Liv. What is your vote?
My vote is the one, the only, Mr. Sunny. Hello, Al, hello, Mr. Sunny.
Good God.
Okay, we'll go in a circle, I guess. My vote would also have to be Mr. Sunny.
So, unlike everyone else, I'm going to go with Pearl.
I'm honestly really torn here. I think I'm also going to go with Pearl because I think... I don't know why everyone's gasping.
No, it's like tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah, what do we do if there's a tiebreaker?
I haven't gone yet.
She hasn't gone yet, but what do we do?
I am the tiebreaker.
All right, let's.
I'm
gonna
think about the performance that I was more impressed by, and the presence, and I'm gonna vote Sunny.
Yay!
Woo!
Yeah.
You just
I love
with Al Pacino.
You just don't like to see women win, I guess.
Oh, yeah. So the winner for Best Main Character at the 2026 RIAs is Sunny Wartzik.
Our second category is Best Supporting Character. So that would be Sal Naturale from Dog Day Afternoon, Howard Bannister from What's Up Doc, Zelda Fuller from Shape of Water, Ray from Mid-90s, Jordan White from The Dune Generation, and Ruth from Pearl. Okay, fresh thoughts. I'm thinking Ray.
Yes.
Or I'm thinking Zelda. Or actually, Howard is good. Okay, I don't know.
Tough one.
Someone else goes.
I think I'm thinking in between Zelda and Ray.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and just say Ray.
Really? So, it was a very, very good addition to that movie.
I'm shocked.
I definitely think...
He was good.
I'm trying to think of it as in a way of like who supported the main character the most significantly.
You're gonna say Howard.
I mean, I was thinking about Howard because I think he's kind of a secondary main character in a way.
Lol.
That's what I thought as well.
He is in
but
it.
But he also, I don't know, like, I think that the role of a supporting character is to give advice to the main character, support them in a way. So then I was kind of thinking Zelda, or I was thinking Rey. So I'm kind of split between those two as far as, like, being helpful.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm obviously a little bit biased, but I also think that almost objectively, Zelda is, like, a really strong supporting character.
I was going to say, especially her not being able to speak. Like,
right? Yeah. Think about that. Like, she fills in all of the dialogue for Eliza, but they pair really well together. I feel like that is a definition of supporting actress.
That's true. You're campaigning.
Supporting actress.
I agree with that.
And nothing for Sal.
Or
Sal is a very struggle like, with secondary him. Character, but it's
or
like
Jordan.
He got overpowered in the movie and in the acting.
Yeah,
he just has a moody vibe, which like I don't gravitate right. towards him.
Yeah,
so.
You want to go first?
Okay. I think Ronnie, you should go first since you read out the nominees.
Okay, let's go with our queen Zelda.
So my vote is gonna be Rey.
I'm gonna vote for Zelda. Queen.
I'm going to vote for Zelda.
Oh my God, just say you hate me.
I will be voting for Rey. Rey was a great addition.
So, the winner for the Best Supporting Actor category in a very tight win is Zelda from The Shape of Water.
Woo! She's iconic.
Yeah.
For our most annoying character, we have Strickland from The Shape of Water, Ruth from Pearl, Eunice Burns from What Up Doc, Ruben from Mid-90s, blech, Xavier from The Doom Generation, and Sunny's wife from Dog Day Afternoon. So, I'm going to be biased again. I am going to say Ruben because he has a nasty haircut, first of all, annoying. Second of all, you are just a mean kid. Like, you were in detention. You got yelled at. You are not a nice kid. I don't even like looking at the photo of him up there.
Yeah. Damn.
I don't
can you use
like
this
him.
Photo on the Instagram?
Yeah, can
people
you
know. People know.
Oh my
God. He
was
very annoying.
He's just like so annoying. He's so hateful. Please, you are a child. Where are you learning this from?
I feel like I really hated the. What's that one's name?
Strickland?
I really hated Strickland from The Shape of Water because he was an op like for the whole movie. Either him or Ruben. Ruben or Ruth.
Yeah, I think this is a kind of tricky one. Strickland is obviously a major op, but I struggle because like that's kind of his vibe, that's his role. He's is the villain. He's
the
like definitely
yeah.
going to be the antagonist of this film.
I didn't like the villain of the movie the most because they were doing bad things.
Exactly.
I didn't like the villain for being villainous.
I also agree that Ruben is definitely on my list, but many people in that movie were on my list, including Stevie.
Okay,
so,
okay. Just say you don't like supporting child actors.
Your
say
beef
you,
with Stevie cracks me
like,
up.
Like you're having beef with this fictional character. Like, are you listening to yourself right now, Maggie? This fictional character who's a child, may I add? Who's
you were literally
through...
just beefing with a fictional child 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, but this is like a different fictional child. Like he's different, bro.
But wait,
like,
how is he
so
different?
He's crying. Different. Like,
wow. So would you say though?
I'm kidding.
Would you say that? When Stevie was kind of getting more into this friend group and kind of turning into a version of self that he wasn't, he was kind of turning into Ruben.
I don't think
while
that
kicking
all.
Him out.
I don't. Think
yeah,
that
it was.
All.
It was. But wasn't that? Was that? Do you guys not
think
find that was the point?
Yeah,
I see that.
That
like
he
a
was taking
bit,
his place.
Like he felt
in the,
like
he was
he
literally
felt
taking his place. Well, yeah, he was taking. He
baby.
Took his place in the group.
Yeah.
So
and in
I
that
don't
way,
know,
I feel,
almost understand
I,
Ruben.
I
don't
kind
know.
Of feel bad for Ruben.
I felt
way,
a little
because
bad
Stevie's
too.
So goddamn annoying. So he's actually coming off of my list.
Oh.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm gonna put Strickland up there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Strickland is just evil.
Yeah.
But like he's supposed to be evil, so yeah, I can't get exactly. mad at the evil guy, evil character for being an evil guy. You know.
Don't you think he was excessively evil though?
He was. He didn't need to, like, grab that guy through the hole in his cheek
that
and
was
act like
crazy.
A fish.
Okay, let's hear those votes for the most annoying character category.
I'm going with Ruben.
I might go with Eunice. I'll go with Eunice.
I'm going to go with Strickland.
I think I'm going to go with Strickland as well. Because I...
Tie.
Oh, I didn't
Maggie
even think of that.
Maggie was plotting that. I saw you look.
So, we're at a tie between... Eunice and Strickland. So, we need to do a tiebreaker now where you're forced to vote between one or the other.
Emma?
Oh, me.
Yes, you.
Oh. Well, I don't really like men, so maybe like Strickland. Like, he's like more annoying.
Wow.
Strickland wins. So you don't want to see women win.
But also,
you don't want to see women win for being annoying? Wait, yes. I think it's almost female empowerment.
But also, like, yeah, I really don't like around. Her. Like, she gives off, like, really annoying, like, wannabe. So,
yeah, that's, yeah.
You know what? Maybe I'll pivot again and see her. Oh. So, suck it.
Final answer is?
Eunice.
Yes!
Eunice.
Okay. You are so annoying, girl.
So, our next category is biggest heartthrob.
/ fine shite.
The nominees are Ryan O'Neal from What's Up, Doc, Olin Prenant from Mid-90s, David Corenswet from Pearl, Al Pacino from Dog Day Afternoon, Jonathan Schaich from The Doom Generation, and, of course, Amphibian Man from The Shape of Water.
Who put the Amphibian Man on?
Like, actually, like, this is
you
just
had
gross.
To pick somebody.
We had to
and
pick someone.
And you said, and of course, the Amphibian Man. Well, what do you mean, and of course?
You because there was Strickland or someone.
Strickland,
like,
really? You want to have Strickland?
That's but it's a lot more beautiful than the freaking Amphibian.
I'll start us off with my boy Jonathan. What a looker, eh? That's all I'm actually going to say.
I'm so divided.
I'm very divided.
I have too many opinions now.
I'm divided between Ryan O'Neal, Al Pacino, and David Corenswet.
Yeah, it's tough.
Like right down the middle.
I'm divided by the dark-haired ones.
I'm
like,
a little
yeah,
bit
I guess I don't like blondes. Yeah. But.
I'm a little bit divided. They're all good looking. I think I would go with David Corenswet, though. Honestly, I thought he was really good looking.
You know what? I thought and I would Pearl. Pick David Corenswet, but the picture you picked of Al Pacino, like the sweaty one, like you did that on purpose.
I was listening controversial. I don't get it at all.
Oh.
Al Pacino.
No, he is like.
Like yeah. That photo especially, I'm like. Okay.
What?
What are you talking about?
Yikes.
Let's place your votes. I vote for, I'm sorry, but day one, Jonathan.
I'm voting for my day one, which is Olin Prenant. Sorry.
Oh, what?
Yeah, like
what? I knew you would.
No,
for
of course.
Sure. Hello.
Like Skater Man, hello.
I am going to vote for David Corenswet.
I'm going to vote for David Corenswet.
I'm going to go for Al Pacino.
Yeah. We all did the ones in our movies.
Except for
well,
poor
Mia,
Howard.
Like Mia.
I loved Howard when I watched
Howard.
No, you can't put him above my baddie. Like,
okay, so that means the winner for Biggest Heartthrob is going to be David Corenswet from Pearl. Yep.
I'm not mad.
Stunna. Okay, projectionist. Okay.
Put that picture Valerie. Up.
Okay, so now the categories are for most iconic scene. The nominees are the audition scene from Pearl, the bathroom flooding scene from The Shape of Water, the motel scene from Doom Generation, the Attica scene from Dog Day Afternoon, the skateboarding down the middle of the road scene from Mid-90s, and the hotel fire from What's Up, Doc.
Okay, so I would say that the best scene from The Shape of Water is going to be the ending scene when she jumps into the water.
I disagree.
That's so, okay, wrap it up, Mia. Like, I think you don't even know your own movie. So. Oh, you mean like basically the flooding scene, yeah.
No. It's the scene at the end.
When she gets turned into, not a fish, but when she gets given the ability to breathe underwater.
I disagree. I think this is more
forget
iconic.
You didn't,
I think the, way
I guess
she's
the bathroom
looking. Flooding is.
Forget
but,
you didn't.
Okay,
forget that.
Sure.
Because
all right, I'm voting for my beautiful, beautiful, I'm already voting, for this beautiful motel scene. Come on. Like, this is the set design ever. There's for our viewers, it's the one where everything is plaid. Best set I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Pearl.
Yeah.
I think that's iconic. Honestly, so iconic.
I'm kind of between, Pearl and the Attica scene. Ronnie?
I mean, I feel like... Yeah, I'd pick that, but I also would pick Pearl, so maybe I'll
okay.
go with Pearl.
Let's right. vote.
Let's vote. I'm going to go with Pearl.
I'm going to go with Pearl as well.
I'm going to go with Pearl.
I'm not going to go with Pearl. I'm not going to go with Pearl, honestly, not even because I don't think it's iconic. I guess I'm looking at the visuals. What the hell? I might go with Pearl.
Oh.
I'm going to say it again. It literally made me happy to see it. Doom Generation.
And the winner for this category is the audition scene in Pearl.
Woo!
Woo!
All right, our next category is film universe. 1990s LA is the Doom Generation universe. 70s New York City is the Dog Days universe. 60s Baltimore, Shape of Water universe. 70s San Francisco, What's Up, Doc? 1918 Texas, Pearl's Universe, 1990s, L.A. the remix, mid-90s. Can I get a thought check?
I think that this is like what I think of it in a way of like what universe would you most want to live in, or what I most want to live in. And for me,
yeah,
that's 1970s San Francisco. What's up, Doc?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. There's some interesting options here. I can rule out about half of them because I wouldn't want to exist in 1918 Texas or particularly 60s Baltimore. So I am going to go ahead and say the mid-90s from mid-90s. I think that would be a really fun time to live in LA.
Yes. I'm going to have to go with mid-90s. Mm. Mid-90s because I feel like that's just like, oh no, so nostalgic and I haven't even been around from like that time. So
are you between things, Rania?
Okay, I'm thinking mid-90s. I like the Pearl one because it created a, like, universe. Doom Generation also Doom Generation is the only one that's, like, a... Like, I don't want to say fictional, but it is fictional, right?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think this is the same thing with kind of water? Shape of Water.
Oh, yeah.
Votes!
Okay, I'll go first. I vote for 1970s San Francisco.
I'm voting for mid-90s Los Angeles.
I'm voting for the exact same thing as Mia, and that's going to be mid-90s in LA.
You know what? Let's flip the switch and go with The Shape of Water, because I think it's like cool. It's like, yeah, reinvention.
Doom Generation, LA 90s, but Freak Edition.
So, I'm just going to say it right now. Mid-90s is the winner for this category.
What?
You know?
Has it won anyone yet? Or no?
Nope.
This is the first winner. Win for mid-90s.
First winner for the best film in history.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so the baddie category. Women only category. So we have Mia Goth from Pearl. We have Barbara Streisand from What's Up, Doc? We have Alexa Demi from mid-90s. We have Sally Hawkins from The Shape of Water. We have Penelope Allen from Dog Day Afternoon. We have Rose McGowan from The Doom Generation.
I'm going to start by saying that I think it's honestly... I mean, Barbara Streisand's Barbara Streisand. But yeah. I also think Pearl and, like, Mia Goth is the reason that movie is
But
a
Pearl
movie.
Isn't a baddie, though. Like, Pearl is scary.
Yeah.
Sorry,
no,
but...
Pearl's a baddie.
What?
She kind of is.
What?
The also, Sylvia... in her hand. Sylvia from Dog Day Afternoon, where she's like, I'm staying with my girls. Like, she was kind of iconic for that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a tricky one. There are a lot of baddie women in all these films, so I don't know. I'm just going to go off the dome on this one.
Yep. I'm going off the dome, too, I think. What's your vote, Mia? What are you thinking?
Yeah, let's just go straight into the votes, honestly. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and vote for Barbara Streisand. Full circle moment. I realized what she looked like this year.
I'm going to go with Rose McGowan.
That's what I was going to say. Like, yeah. If we're looking at the baddest, like, she's the baddest.
Literally.
But I don't
totally
know what, like, I don't know what, like
just look
lens
at her
we're
outfit,
all looking at it through, but, yeah.
What is your vote, Anya?
Rose McGowan.
I'm going for Rose McGowan, too. She is, literally, if you saw what we were looking at right now, she is just...
Death proof.
Picture perfect, right there.
I'm going with Barbara Streisand, but I understand Rose McGowan.
Guys.
I hear that.
So, We have the first win for... Doom Generation.
Yes! Finally!
Rose McGowan
as
Amy Blue is officially crowned
the baddie. The baddie.
Period.
I would like to say really quickly, as we're wrapping this up, that I just have a quick statistic for you that we each watched 619 minutes of movies. Collectively, we watched 3,095 minutes of movies, which is 2.149 days.
That's
collectively
impressive.
Of straight movie watching.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, we want to thank you so much for tuning into this episode and the first season of Roll'em Radio. It's been great having you, and we hope at least one of our movie picks expanded your film horizons. This isn't the end, though. Stay tuned for Roll'em Radio's second season. And in the meantime, make sure you're following us on Instagram and Letterboxd for updates.
If we don't see you again next season, we'll always have Roll'em season one.
We will see you next season because we will have season two.
Stay movie boy.
All right. I think that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Yeah.